Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with an old friend, Brad Willis, who I actually haven't spoken to in over 25 years. We reconnected over Facebook. I saw his artwork and I knew I had to get him on the show. He's got a series he calls Anti-Folk, which we're going to find out what that is. I know it's a genre of music, so we're going to find out how that relates to art. We're going to find out what else he's been up to. Enjoy! I'm so excited about this new sponsor, guys. I've used Walgreens.com for years. In fact, they were drugstore.com when I first started using them. They have such great deals, and I can create my own little drugstore stockpile of things like deodorant, toothpaste, soap, face cream, things I definitely don't want to run out of. They've got such great deals, especially for buying in bulk, that you never have to do without. And every order over $35 gets you free shipping. If you go to the letstalkartwithbrooke.com page and click on the link, you'll get special deals only available to the Let's Talk Art with Brooke listeners. Now on to my interview with Brad Antifolk.
Great.
So tell me what's been going on with you.
Oh, man, I guess a lot of things. I mean, it's been 25 years, right?
So, yeah, totally. Totally.
So I went to college, went to NC State, and then transferred to Appalachian State to pursue art.
Mm-hmm.
And then got into arts business from there, and then business, and ended up getting an MBA from Wake Forest.
Cool.
And then did some consulting work. And then I had a kid and didn't want to travel around 100% of the time, so I ended up going to work for GameStop.
Uh-huh.
And they brought me out to Dallas, which is where I am now.
Cool.
And,
Wow, that sounds awesome.
And that time, had two kids and got divorced and all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, life.
Yeah, life and happens.
And then started painting. I did some creative things in the meantime, you know, but I really started painting about a year and a half ago or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't remember that if you painted when I knew you when we were, like, 17.
Yeah, I didn't really paint, but I certainly did a lot of art. I took, I was in AP art, took, like, basically 3 hours of art in high school, my senior year. And so I took quite a bit of it, and really enjoyed it. And so I've done creative things along the way. Like, I had this website, and I did a zine or a magazine, got involved in a music scene, and worked on that, and then just really found painting about a year and a half ago, to be honest.
Right.
After the Women's March that they had, the first painting I did, in, like I said, probably like 15 years, was #, Women's March 2017.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to paint things that were trending on Twitter.
Right.
That was what I did when I first started painting.
Like what kind of stuff trending on Twitter?
Oh, I ended up painting like National Squirrel Day. I think I did it was anything I found kind of interesting for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I did Sean Spicer, a movie, all kinds of just different whatever was trending on Twitter at the time.
That's
funny. But I found out that it was a lot of stuff maybe I didn't want to paint as much, so I kind of lost interest in that after about 20 or so painting.
Right.
And ended up just painting whatever I felt like, and then kind of really found my voice probably last November maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely a transition, you know. I was definitely painting more figurative things than I'm doing now. Now I'm mostly painting abstract.
Right.
When I say mostly, I mean exclusively, so.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing. How have you been?
I've been good. I've been really good. went to college and decided that I didn't really have any direction to do that, so I came home and I just kind of did something completely different. I got a degree in graphic design, and I decided I didn't want to do that, so I wrote a book and just kind of went my own way, and eventually started this podcast and like to talk to artists instead of actually doing it.
Well, that sounds great, though. That's all, you know. That sounds definitely cool.
So it actually, I'm in the process of working on a book on a 19th or 20th century art dealer. And this is kind of inspired by him and just the art chats, art talks, just talking with artists, which is something that he did in his gallery during the 20th century. And of course our conversations are quite different than his would be, but it's just kind of, it was through him that it kind of gave me the idea to do it. So I guess you could call it indirect research, maybe. Not really, but just kind of inspiration, I guess. But yeah, I was interested in your stuff. I know that, well, what is anti-folk?
Anti-folk was, it's still a music scene. It was a music scene that I was involved with in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really been around since probably like the mid 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was a bunch of people who played at the time basically like folk music, like acoustic guitars, and they were not allowed to play in the folk venues of New York at the time.
Uh-huh.
While they were influenced by people like Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie and things like that, they were also influenced by some of the punk music at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people said they weren't folk enough, and they said, "Well, gosh, if it's just me and a guitar, if I can't be in your folk festival, I'll start my own anti-folk festival." And that's how it started.
Cool.
And really, it's so a lot of it traditionally has been kind of folk mixed with punk, but really. To me, it's like an anti-genre of music where anybody, who's to say you're not anti-folk if,
Right.
You're being like the old folkies, right? And so, like, I have friends who are involved in hip-hop and metal and stuff that consider themselves anti-folk at the time. And so, it's just it was a music thing that I was involved with, and I had a rather large website.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a fanzine, too, for it. So that's where the name kind of came from.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I wanted to do a pen name. So.
Cool.
I ended up picking Brad Anti-Folk.
So you signed your...
I think I was at Wake Forest at the time. So if you're getting my MBA, so if you... it was Mad Brad Anti-Folk. It was Mad Brad in high school.
Uh-huh. That's funny. That's funny. So you signed your stuff, anti-folk, Brad anti-folk?
Yes, I did. I should sign it anti-folk. But it's definitely all me. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I like mm-hmm. that. I like it.
And a lot of it is inspired and really named after music and not just like doesn't necessarily have to be from that scene or anything, but music's always been a big passion of mine as well as art. So.
Right.
And I've never been able to perform or do any music at all, but I can certainly create what I want, you know?
Right, right. So did you say that you played anything ever?
No, I did not. I mean, if you remember from high school, Brian Patterson and Bill Lindsay and all those guys were musicians, and I was not.
Right.
In a group of friends, you know?
Right.
I don't know if Bill was a musician, actually, to think about it, but Brian Patterson was definitely the musician of the group.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, I remember Bill played the drums, but I didn't realize that you didn't play anything. I didn't know anyone else who played anything, so I didn't think it odd.
But I certainly tried for a little bit, but I discovered I have no talents, and I'll let other people do it. You know, I'll be an admirer and enjoy it that way.
You can enjoy it. Yeah, that's how I am with art. Not so talented with the art, but I can enjoy it. I can sure enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you said that I can see that your art is inspired by different songs and just definitely music. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Talk a little bit about the inspirations for your different pieces.
Oh, okay. Well, like I said, most of it is is music inspired, or, you know, what I end up doing is, you know, listening to music while I'm painting, so it's really easy to get in inspired by it, right?
Yeah, totally. So,
I'll put on a record and hang out with my kids or my girlfriend, uh-huh. and I'll paint and just, you know, sometimes it's very singularly focused, like kind of know what I want to do from a song or from a lyric or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Or sometimes I'll just be listening to something and it'll kind of
click,
weave its way into the piece, if that makes sense.
Right.
Or it'll, or the piece will remind me tremendously of a song or something like that.
Right.
And it, I think in a lot of ways, too, it stems from, you know, I have no sense of smell, so...
Really?
And so a lot of my memories are tied to music, whereas a lot of people's are tied to smell.
Uh-huh.
Most people, smell is the sense that's tied the most to memories.
Uh-huh.
For me, that is definitely not the case, because I've never been able to smell anything.
Yeah.
So a lot of, like, songs and albums even kind of remind me of different places or different times and things like that. So for me, it's very nostalgic in some ways, too.
Right.
It just brings me to a place or a feeling that I had at a certain time.
Right.
Whereas with others, it may or may not do the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a couple questions about that. Can you taste anything?
I can taste. And that's usually the first question everyone asks. I would definitely be much skinnier if I couldn't taste. I don't know if I taste the same as everyone else, because I hear it's tied.
Yeah.
Or, you know, which is why it's always the first question, right?
Yeah. Probably so.
But I can definitely taste things, and really the only detriment it's ever really been is when something's like on fire behind me and I don't know.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen too often.
A fire alarm go off in my apartment once,
uh-huh.
and I was like, man, why is this thing being so loud? And I go in, my kitchen's on fire.
No. Yeah.
I couldn't smell the smoke or anything.
Oh, that's not cool.
But most of the time, it's a blessing, because people always say,
Yeah, totally. There's all kinds of bad smells around. You're not missing out on it.
So normally I think it's a blessing, and then I wear deodorant for everyone else's perception.
That's cool. Yeah, if you weren't wearing it, you wouldn't know. That's so. That's fantastic. So how do you think? I mean, do you think that? Not having one sense kind of, I don't know if the word is exacerbates any of the other senses or just kind of brings them out more. So do you think that inspires, how do you think that works with your painting or your drawing, or your art?
I don't know if that has much to do with it. I mean, I would have liked to have said that I'd have great senses and everything else, but as I get older, I've been losing them, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
I can't see as well as I used to,
mm-hmm.
especially up close.
Yeah.
And I went to too many anti-folk concerts, so my ears aren't as good as they used to be.
Right.
But, but you know, like I said, I think it's more tied to the memories and the feelings that the songs would evoke, so maybe in that sense.
Right. And I guess I worded it wrong. I mean, obviously it wouldn't affect how your art or how your skills, but like your memories, your inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, definitely music is a passion of mine, and it has been for a long time. So, and it, you know, diverged off the beaten path at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I found all these unique, amazing artists, and then through the power of the internet, you know, my website and became most of the, you know, and so I've had the opportunity to like meet my musical heroes, which
cool.
is really great.
Like, who have you met?
Yeah, it's great. It's been great.
Who have you met?
Oh, all the people that were in the anti-folk scene around the early 2000s. So, not many people super famous or anything.
Right.
But people that I really enjoyed and like, you know, rock stars at my house, you know?
Right, right. Cool. So that's
yeah. Cool.
So yeah. So they know that you do art, and could they be musicians and stuff? Yeah, yeah.
Some of them do because we're Facebook friends and stuff, and so some of them have taken note, I think. And then even people I've discovered lately, because I try to always discover new music and stuff.
Cool.
And some of those people have, who I don't know personally, but I've named a painting after, whether lines or whether songs have reached out and enjoyed it, which is great and cool in a lot of ways. As you know, it's just really fun to talk to creative people, I think.
Totally.
And you know, just kind of see their thought process and get inspired by them and everything.
Yeah, totally.
I remember loving art from a long time ago. You know, when I was two or three, it was the first time I really remember getting into art and that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, from when I was when I was three, my next door neighbor Roger Dolman, who sadly passed away, before he. At a very young age, or not a very young age, but in his 20s, was my favorite artist for a long time.
Yeah.
And as young children, we were best friends. Years apart, obviously, but I remember him drawing in the comic, in the coloring book before I could, in the line. And I always wanted to, outdo him or something like that. And so he was one of the best artists at Myers Park, which was the high school that I went to and you went to.
Right.
We both went to. And hopefully I'm, up there too. Who knows? But
yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you are.
I appreciate it.
So I was looking at all of your stuff, or not all of it, because you probably have a lot more, but all the stuff that's on Facebook, and it reminds me a little bit of Aboriginal art. It's much more precise and geometric, but it has that feel to it, kind of. And I was just wondering, kind of how you developed that style. I mean, it looks like a design, kind of. They could be like patterns, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's not the right way to say it, but I just think they're really cool and they're very different.
Well, first of all, I totally appreciate your kind words, but I guess the way it developed was, again, it was kind of an evolution, because like when I started painting. Painting was never my main medium when I was younger and going into art.
Mm-hmm.
I took painting classes, but it wasn't what I envisioned for myself at the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when I started painting figuratively, and then I think I messed up a painting. I didn't care for it at all, and so I kind of decided to just paint over it and do an abstract.
Mm-hmm.
It was not what you see today is what I'm doing, but that was an evolution towards it.
Right.
And my art has always been, even from when I was a little kid, drawing in those lines in that coloring book was huge. Like, the lines in the coloring book were huge for me, and so was the, growing up, I loved comic books, too, and so the lines in the comic books, my work has always been about lines for the most part.
Right.
And so I can remember in college I would buy like Van Gogh or Klimt or Picasso and buy their posters and outline them.
Yeah.
Which, is probably sacrilegious, but I would just love lines so much. And that was really what I did. We were learning shading in
right.
college. You know, everyone else would try to make theirs really round, and I would do that too, but then I would outline it to flatten it out.
Yeah, totally.
So it's always been about lines and how they interact with things.
Uh-huh.
And then when I originally did that first abstract,
mm-hmm.
maybe last year sometime, I ended up outlining it. And this later, I really liked the way it looked. And then that kind of just kept evolving. And then later, I would mark off or tape off different parts of the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Or paint, first layer of paint, you know, and just kind of get those geometric shapes and things. Because I think in a lot of ways my brain is, you know, work, I deal with numbers a lot. And so
right.
I think in a lot of ways there's a big dichotomy in my brain, and I hope there's one in my work too. That's what the goal is,
mm-hmm.
is that the color is on, not randomly, of course, but it's definitely more haphazardly put on the canvas.
Right.
Or it flows, or I don't have a preconceived idea of where the colors are gonna end up on the canvas, but I definitely have an idea of where I want the lines to go.
Right.
And there's kinda like that dichotomy there of the
strategic
of being free and flowing out and the chaos of that and then the very rigidness of where I need OCD-like patterns or where I need the lines, you know?
Right, right. Oh, I love that. That's really cool.
And so that's kind of how it developed.
Yeah.
And I'm still working on some of the older pieces. Like, that's what I'm working on now is an older piece that I had done and didn't outline.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm going back and outlining everything on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a couple of those that were really precursors to the So what I'm doing now that aren't really part of it yet, but they will be.
Right, right. Oh, I think that's really cool. I also love lines. I don't know that I would have realized that before, but I think now that you say that, I think that's I can recognize that in myself, because I've always traced, and I've always like if something that I like, I've always been like tried to copy it and just making lines. I just like that.
Yeah, and when I was training people at GameStop, I would train somebody and I would draw a line on a whiteboard or on a piece of paper or something,
mm-hmm.
and then I would take a ruler and draw another straight line right next to it.
Uh huh.
And I would always say, hey, which line do you like better? And inevitably, they would say they like the very straight rulered line.
Uh huh.
And then inevitably, I'd also tell them they were wrong.
Yeah.
I was like, look at the artist's line.
Yeah.
Does that line not have more soul in it? Does it not have more, does it not have more, is it not more interesting to you than just the straight, rigid line? And they come around and I say, listen, I don't need you to be perfect, but I need us to be going in the same direction.
Right.
You know, so we need to be going in the same line, but we can't all be perfect. We need to make our own way. And that was kind of one of the first training things I always did. And I think it's funny that it involved line, but
yeah.
I'm not sure.
That is kind of interesting. That is funny. That is funny. And I think it's cool that you recognize that. Cause I don't know. That's not something that I knew about myself until you just said it. I mean, so I think it's very, I don't know the word, just kind of just, I think it's very cool that you realize that you like lines.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know why. I'm just aware, you know?
Yeah.
I guess it's been very aesthetic for a long time, and I think it comes back to those coloring book lines, and then the lines in the comic books,
mm-hmm.
and then just learning to draw, you know?
Right, right.
And again, while everyone else was trying to curve everything out and shade it just so, I liked I mean, I liked the way the textures looked when you use the shading techniques and things, but I also wanted to flatten it out with the lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was always, which kind of made it very distinguishable too from everybody else's, which was neat in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So what? So you sell your art on Etsy, and so do you don't get to use your art in your job, I would imagine, a whole lot.
No, I have it hanging at my cube, but other than that, no.
Right.
I sell it on the BrettAntifolk.com as well.
On the what?
BrettAntifolk.com.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Larger, on the website, yeah.
Where all the larger pieces really are.
Cool.
Etsy is right now kind of just where my the smaller pieces, and then I have a second kind of group that I'm doing is the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all on my Etsy, which I really just started selling like less than a month ago, Brooke, to be honest with you.
Right.
So I haven't seen too much traffic quite yet, but
yeah.
The leftovers were all the negative spaces in the main series.
Uh-huh.
And so they're just the taped parts that were left over.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way they ended up looking together too.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I think that's so cool. I think that's really great. So.
So I have some people that really like those, and some people that really like the main series, which is what I've been working on.
Right. Now, which series is that?
The Anarchy of the Abstract.
Yeah, talk about that.
That's really what all the pieces I've been doing are, and that's where I've been working with the negative space on the canvas,
mm-hmm.
and as well as outlining what all the different color variations of the paint that once it's applied, you know?
Right, right.
And really that's, it's kind of the anarchy of the abstract is kind of all the flow and the randomness of the color.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the canvas.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's what you're talking about.
And then the dichotomy is that I go back and outline everything.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what you're talking about. That's cool. Yeah, I like that. That's very cool. I didn't realize that that was what it was called.
Oh, yeah.
So, very cool. Very cool. So.
It's fun. It's been fun, you know, and as I start to kind of hopefully try to progress in selling art and doing art kind of things, it's fun to start showing it off and doing all that as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't really know a whole lot about this. So, but you might want to check this out. It's a website called Saatchi, SAATCHI. It's SaatchiArt.com. And they're actually one of my new sponsors. I don't really know a whole lot about them. I know they build themselves. I'm going to take this part out because I don't want this in there. They build themselves as the world's largest online art marketplace. And
okay.
I'm not sure what kind of specs they require for people to sell on there or what.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know anything about it. So I really could be leading you down the wrong road, but it's just something that I thought about, and it's what I do know about it. I think they do have, I think it's just a place for artists to sell their stuff. And like I said, I don't know what their screening process is or
mm-hmm.
anything like that. but you might want to check it out.
S-A-A-P?
It's S-A-A-T as in Thomas.
Okay.
C as in cat.
Okay.
H-I... Saatchi art.com.
Got it.
So.
Cool.
So very cool.
It's neat that, you know, as I get into this thing, I'm meeting artists and you know, they're giving me tips and, you know, kind of becoming my, like, mentors in ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I met somebody Friday, and they were like, oh, you've got to check this out, and you've got to do this. And so, like, I, you know, just jumping into it from the perspective of someone brand new entering it, it's a, there's a lot more to it than one would think, I would, or at least that I thought. You know, maybe it was very naive of me, you know?
Right, right.
But I didn't realize I needed to get, like, a tax number so that I could take sales tax and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And really, I realized that most things would probably be online, but I don't know where to look necessarily, too, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, it's like a business.
Yeah.
Like a whole new business. Yeah.
It's definitely a business.
But it's scary. Yeah. So it should be a fun business, but it's kind of but it's, when you kind of mix the two, it gets kind of, the lines kind of blur. So that's, it can be a little daunting.
That's the reason I originally went into when I was at Appalachian State and I was an art major,
mm-hmm.
I took they always say like only, four out of 28 people that get a degree in art make a living in art. And so I was looking around,
mm-hmm.
and like, I'm a little cocky, so I thought I was definitely in the top 5%
Yeah.
But I was also a little, weary too, because I was like, man, I don't want to get out and not have something I can fall back on. And so I thought, well, I'll work in arts business.
Right.
You know? And so I took a couple of business classes and just found them really easy. And though I think the math part of me,
mm-hmm.
That's how my brain was just really, just found it really easy.
Yeah.
So that's what ended up happening in a lot of ways.
Right.
But I was like one of the only non art majors to display work in one of their shows. It was pretty cool.
That is cool. That's really
and,
cool.
I went to study abroad with the art group as well.
Mm hmm.
I went to France and England, which was great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I got to go to the Louvre and all different kinds of museums and things like that. It was great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Very cool.
I thought so. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Totally. I'm jealous.
Oh, man. It was great. I'm jealous of young me, too. You know?
Totally. Totally. Yeah, I'd love to make a trip like that. That sounds really cool.
But I'm really happy with what I'm doing now, and like I don't know if I would have, I don't know if I would be doing what I do now if it hadn't happened the same way it has, you know.
So right.
I'm excited about it, and I'm excited about the opportunities hopefully coming up, and just putting my work out there and. People seem to like it, and so, I feel like I'm getting better at it, and like I feel like I'm getting to do more and more of what I want to do, you know?
Yeah,
which is good too.
That's important. That's really important.
Yeah.
So, well, very cool. This has been so great, Brad. This has been so great catching up with you.
Oh, my pleasure. Definitely. Great. I haven't talked to you forever.
No, it's like I said, it's been 25 years. So this is really cool. Well, you'll actually, could you send me some pictures that I can put on the blog?
Yes, definitely. Do you have any specific kind you want, or
any ones that you think any? No, I don't really have a preference. I think they're all good.
Okay.
But yeah, any of them are good. That sounds
sure.
That sounds cool. Any especially any ones that you want people to see.
Okay.
And I can link back to your website, and they can hopefully buy them.
Oh, you're so kind.
Okay, I make no promises, but that's what the plan is.
to get
exposure.
I listened to several of the podcasts. So,
cool. Thank
very,
you.
Very exciting.
Thank you. So yeah, this has been a lot of fun, and yeah, this is I love doing this, and So yeah, when this posts, which I'm not sure when it will post, probably next week or a week or maybe like a week or 2 weeks.
Okay.
If you could share it as much as possible on any social medias you have.
Of course.
That would be awesome.
And I'm aware of that. Yes.
cool. Very cool. And I will continue to watch what you're up to and see what's going on with you and see what's up and hopefully generate some sales your way.
Yeah, that's like, you know, good thing. Hopefully you guys win some more trivia challenges.
Yeah, we play every night, which...
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, which is not obsessive at all, but... uh-huh. But we have fun, and basically, my boyfriend says it gets us out of the house, and we wouldn't be doing anything better anyway, so... And it makes us think, it stimulates the brain, and sometimes we win, and sometimes we don't have to pay for dinner, which is even better. And so we've rarely paid for a meal in several years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
that sounds like a good gig. Yeah.
Totally.
I need that gig. I have two children of my own, and my girlfriend has three, and so we're a lot of balance to feed at my house.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Five kids. Wow.
Yeah, not usually at once, but occasionally.
Yeah.
We go from zero to five. Yeah. But my kids mostly live with my ex and her wife, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we get them every once in a while. I had them, my son came over last Sunday, and I have him again this weekend, so I'm excited to see him.
Cool. Are they do they live where you live? You're in Texas, right?
Yes, they live in Texas. Yes.
Okay.
They're all North Carolina people, but they live in Texas.
Right, because I noticed you still have the 704 area code.
Oh yeah, I've kept it up just in case I move back.
Yeah.
Plus the cell phones, you know, it's not a big deal anymore. You know.
Right.
It's
right.
Not like it was.
Yeah. Well, whereabouts in Texas are you?
I'm in. I'm in Fort Worth.
Okay.
So I'm like in North Fort Worth, and I work in Grapevine, Texas, which is where the DFW airport is.
Okay. Cool.
As well as GameStop's corporate headquarters. So, So GameStop said, "Hey, would you like to move to West Virginia?" And I said, "No."
No.
And then they said, "How about Dallas?" And I said, "Okay, we'll do that."
Cool. Yeah, I've never been there. My boyfriend lived in Houston for a while.
Oh, really?
But I've never...
It's even hotter there.
Yeah, because that's what I hear.
Because I hear... I have not been to Houston, but I hear it's very... because it's on the water, so it's a lot more humid.
Yeah, totally.
Like in Charlotte, to me, like 90 degrees is like unbearable. It's the humidity and everything.
It's pretty darn hot.
90 degrees here is not that bad, though.
Right.
Like, it's 90 degrees now, and it's not really that bad.
Right.
Now, you know, 110 is bad anywhere, I think.
Yeah, so, that's true. That's
and
true.
We have, like, 110 days, but 90 is not terribly bad over here, whereas in Charlotte, it would be, like, unbearable.
Excruciating. You know? Yeah. But is the cold really bad?
The cold? At times, but not... Like, it really snows here, right? So the crazy thing about winter here is it'll be, like, 30 degrees one day, and then it'll be 70 degrees the next day.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, there's not really seasons like there is in North Carolina either.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not, but at least where I am, there's not the trees. Like, the trees are so beautiful in Charlotte, and like, the mountains and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they're just not over here in the same capacity.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I've never been to Texas.
Oh, where have you been?
Nowhere.
Nowhere? Oh, man. You really need to get out the
Well, I've been to St. Louis. That's the furthest west I've been.
Okay.
I like that. I've been to pretty much up and down the East Coast, I guess.
Yeah.
But I basically just like to stay here.
Yeah. a nice place to stay, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's always a nice place to visit, too.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Cool. Well, this has been so great,
Brian. Thank you so much for reaching out and everything, too. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, definitely.
I'm really excited that you like some of the paintings and stuff, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think they're really great. So, yeah, we're going to try to – and obviously I don't sell them on the website, but they at least get out and people get to see them and get to know who you are and things like that. And so that's
right.
it's marketing, so publicity, I guess.
Yep, yep.
So – but yeah, so – and I think you got a great product, so.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I've been really enjoying it, and I mean, it's kind of weird because it's, you know, in a lot of ways, it's, you know, you do like one thing over and over, but at the same time, you find new ways of doing it. And it's still exciting, or it's even more exciting, really, the more you do it, you know,
right, kind of weird. Totally.
Counterintuitive, but it's the way it is, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. I agree. So, well, this has been so great, and I will definitely send you a link when this posts.
Will do. Cool. And I'll send you some pictures shortly, I guess, via Facebook, maybe?
Actually, I send it to my email. It's Brooke with an E. muster@gmail.com.
It's on your website too, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
So brooke.musterman@gmail.com.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool.
I should be good with that.
Awesome. Very cool. And I will be in touch.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Bye. Thank you so much to my old friend Brad Willis for taking time to chat with me and catch up and tell me what anti-folk is. I'll be linking to his website and his Etsy shop on the blog, so check it out. Thanks for listening. This has been a Hotspur Media production.